Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform, your virtual coffee chats with military veterans about their civilian career. Today is episode number 285 with Kirk Windmuller.
Yeah, I think, but like most people, they know retirement's on the horizon for them. But it, like a lot of folks, it ended up kind of sneaking up on me at the end. And I was basically trying to figure out, hey, what do I want to do when I retire? And what is the process? And, you know, who do I need to be talking to get through this? So I was about a year out when I dropped my retirement paperwork. And then that was kind of the OMG moment for me. Like, oh, my God, what have I done? So what do I do now? And what I found was that there was not a whole lot of information out there about the transition process. In particular, when I should be doing certain things at what points and, you know, and that really kind of frustrated me.
Kirk retired from the Army after 22 years of service, but still found that the transition to a civilian career snuck up on him. In this interview, Kirk is candid about a lot of the mistakes that he made in his own transition. More importantly, as an act of service, he put together some of the most comprehensive transition documents we've ever come across. In this interview, we talk about Kirk's advice on how to approach a transition out of the military, as well as Kirk's experience at Lockheed Martin. We talk about personal branding, advanced planning on LinkedIn, the burden of responsibility that you may not realize that you have, why veterans should consider PMP programs, and more. Special thanks to Chris Pisani for making the recommendation about Kirk. It was a great tip for us. And special thanks to username Dan Samo, who wrote on iTunes reviews. He said, Justin has done a fantastic job with this podcast. Every episode is an absolute goldmine of information for all. Even if you are years away from your transition date, listening is a must. He even takes notes for you. Well done, Justin. Thank you, Dan Samo, and to all of you who have left positive reviews on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Kirk. Well, joining me today in Fayetteville, North Carolina, my guest is Kirk Windmuller. Kirk, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Appreciate you having me.
So for listeners, I want to give a quick background on Kirk. And for our audio listeners, if you have not seen the 22nd or 42nd trailer for this one, you're missing out on an incredible background behind Kirk at his office. They've got this massive replica of the Millennium Falcon, which is pretty rad. But Kirk is a senior operations analyst at Lockheed Martin. He's written a few very popular articles on LinkedIn about transitioning, timeline, and more, which is actually how we came to connect. Beyond the Uniform listener, Chris Pisani sent me an incredible document that Chris put together, this timeline, and I realized that we had to meet with him. He is a graduate of the Citadel and the Naval Postgraduate School, and he served in the Army for over 22 years, including work as a Green Beret and retiring as an O5. So Kirk, maybe to start things off, could you talk us through your own transition decision to leave the Army and how you, what your timeline looked like?
Yeah, I think, but like most people, they know retirement's on the horizon for them. But it, like a lot of folks, it ended up kind of sneaking up on me at the end. And I was basically trying to figure out, hey, what do I want to do when I retire? And what is the process? And, you know, who do I need to be talking to get through this? So I was about a year out when I dropped my retirement paperwork. And then that was kind of the OMG moment for me. Like, oh, my God, what have I done? So what do I do now? And what I found was that there was not a whole lot of information out there about the transition process. In particular, when I should be doing certain things at what points and, you know, and that really kind of frustrated me. So I wrote about, you know, what I did. I had to actually write this timeline out for myself just to keep track of all the tasks you have to do. But that's was the impetus for the article. It was really kind of born, you know, out of my own frustration with the system. And I'll say that, you know, retirement, you know, if you think it's going to be like this task force of folks helping you usher you through to the light, that is not the case. It is really an individual event, and you're on your own to knock out all these tasks predominantly. I mean, you can reach out to folks for help, and there's organizations that specialize in doing that. But, you know, when you get started, you don't really probably know a lot about most of these organizations or what to do exactly. So that's how it all started for me.
I love it. I think when I first saw that, I just assumed like, man, this guy was locked down and ready for his transition. And he did this and then he was just sharing it with other people. But to realize that it wasn't something that benefited you at all. Like it benefited everyone else. It's like the document you wish you had during the process, which is just mind-boggling and awesome that you took the time to do that. And it was like truly an act of service.
And the irony is I was a strategic planner. I didn't have a plan for myself. You know, I was head buried in my work for most of the time, like everybody else. And then you pop up one day and you're like, oh my goodness, I gotta retire. I gotta start doing stuff.
So
it does sneak up on you a little bit. So, and my message to folks is that, you know, you don't have to have a perfect plan when you start your retirement. I mean, if you've got a clear vision of what you want and exactly what you want to do and the company you want to work for, then you're really in the minority. I'd say you're probably pretty lucky. But I would say that for the vast majority of us, you know, we don't really have a clear-eyed view of what exactly we want to do. So, you know, give yourself a number of options out there. Whether you want to work for, you know, private sector or defense industry, or you want to branch out on your own and do the, you know, entrepreneur thing, just, you know, have some options for yourself in case one doesn't pan out. You can always go to another one and, you know, you don't have to be completely derailed by a few failures and you can just continue to march on. So that's, yeah.
This is great. Yeah. And I want to also just make space too, because I think there's so much. And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org and the show notes for this episode, we're going to have links to all of these articles. There's an incredible PowerPoint and more there. But I want to just kind of like ask about this and, you know, your article, Navigating Military Retirement, Thoughts and Lessons Learned. What else do you want listeners to know about this? I don't expect you to summarize everything, but what seems most important for people to know?
Well, I think if you look at that my post there and that chart that I made, I think it's going to dawn on you that your retirement process is not some 30, 60, 90-day process like you're used to when you do your permanent change of station moves, you know, or your military PCS moves, where you have to get your transportation done and move your house and, you know, do all the out processing and stuff like that. You have to do all of those tasks plus a whole bunch more. And you cannot cram for this task. You have to start spreading this stuff out and doing it over the course of a year or more. And in fact, if you have to, if you want, you can break it down into sort of your far term task, which is maybe 2 to 5 years out from your retirement. You should really be looking at doing a number of things, and I'll name five of them for you. So first of all, if you're in that sort of five years out from retirement, one of the things you absolutely want to do is start looking at getting an advanced degree in whatever your field is, if you don't already have one, and try to do it on the military's dime. That's probably going to cost you some additional service obligation for that, a couple of years. But it is worth it to have a master's degree, or if you're a senior enlisted guy, make sure you have your bachelor's degree or master's degree as well in your field of interest. And if you don't know which degree to get, then get an MBA, because that's one of the most universal degrees out there for folks that don't know exactly what they want to do. The second thing is get some business certifications if you're going to go into the business world, particularly a PMP, project management professional, because a lot of the work you do as a senior NCO or officer, as a staff officer, is PMP-like work, even though we don't necessarily call it that. That's exactly what it is. You're taking projects from, you know, cradle to the grave. So you can get certified in that. And that is actually fairly valuable, I've seen, in the business world. And that can actually boost your salary by several thousand dollars. And it might be a discriminator for certain jobs if you want to do PMP-like work. There's certifications for all sorts of fields as well, though, not just PMP. So whatever your field of interest is, there's probably a certification course for it. And there's probably available free to you for military. Many of them are. And the third thing I would say is, you need to start several years out. You need to start thinking about your retirement and saving some money, squirreling some away. And I'm not talking like 401ks, IRAs, and your thrift savings plan. I'm talking about like a readily available savings account that you can access. And that the purpose of that money is you really need to have some cash to carry you through your job hunting months. And I'll explain that a little bit. But you're going to have, once you retire, you've got about a month of permissive TDY to job hunt. Then you've got about 2 months of leave that you can take. And for those three months right there, you're going to be collecting a full paycheck with your housing allowance and everything. And after that point, all that goes away and you're now getting a reduced paycheck. You're going to be living off your pension. So if you need to continue your job hunt beyond those 3 months until you're off the rolls, you need to have some money to help carry you through there. And that's going to buy down your risk, and you know, so you don't have to take, you know, the first job you come across. You can wait and actually get one that's more to your liking. But really, that money is for you to like I said, to buy down that risk and for you to have a buffer there for your job hunt. And number four, I would say, let's see. Yeah, that's a good time to start downsizing a little bit with your spending, and you know, don't make any huge purchases at that point if you're getting ready to get out. So you need to actually not only save money, but probably cut back on your bills a little bit, because you may need that money, and you're using the same burn rate that you are. You know, most of us live up to our income levels anyway, so you probably ought to reduce that a little bit, squirrel some money away, and just be prepared for a few lean months just in case. And if you happen to get a job early, then that's great. You get all that money and you can just blow it on whatever you need to. But it's good to have that as your safety net. And I would say the fifth thing for your far-term planning is to save enough leave. You need 60 days worth of leave saved up. And that's, like I said, that's not something you can cram for in your last year. You can only get 30 days built up in your last year. So you need to save a little bit. And the reason for that is, you know, you get full paychecks with the housing allowance and all that for that leave period. So those are pretty important FAR tasks. And for your near-term task, you know, once you get near that one-year-out window, you need to attend the Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, the SFL TAP course. So that's really kind of give you your asthma check on all your tasks that you need to complete in your final year before you exit. And I would say you have two overarching tasks within your last year of service for retirement. And those are, one, you got to work on your personal brand. And by personal brand, I'm talking about getting your resume together, doing your verbal business card, getting on LinkedIn and, you know, building up your network of folks and, you know, people that you follow and companies and headhunters and that thing, that sort of thing. And the other piece of that is your medical task. So if you're planning on filing a disability claim with the VA, you've got a lot of stuff to do medical-wise. You've got to get a final physical with your unit doctors, a retirement physical, and that is your last opportunity to get all that stuff documented that you've been blowing off for the last few years. And then you will take that stuff to the VA, and the VA will give you their own physical for the disability determination. And I'll tell you that VA disability physical is not the time to be introducing new items, new issues with your body, because if it's not documented prior to that, you're going to have a very hard time getting claims for it. So just consider yourself warned on that one. But that's it. So your personal brand and your medical task are your two big umbrella issues.
I love this. And if listeners are getting energized like I am about the very tactical, clean nature with which Kirk is walking through this, and it is a very nebulous process, so the order and structure he's bringing to this is really exceptional. Definitely check out the PDF and his article. I wanted to call out a couple things. I love that, first of all, the way you break that down. I love that you're calling out the PMP as a certification that's similar to work that many people do in the military and is helpful on the other side, and the thought of really utilizing those educational benefits. I also love how you were talking about how a year out, you start to think about that personal brand. And for listeners, I wanted to highlight episode 273, really recently with Lita Citrion. She went through, it was all about personal branding. So if that is a topic that's relevant to you in your timeline or just you're curious about, there's a great deeper dive there on that. But I think that's great. And I can only imagine how much work it took to think through all the different resources out there to really come up with a clean, concise way to articulate this process in a way that's really accessible.
Yeah, it was born out of failure. Yeah, but just another word on the personal brand issue is, a lot of folks in military, it's, we're not used to self-promotion. That's kind of frowned upon. So this is going to be a little bit of a sea change for a lot of folks. You're going to have to start looking at, saying me and I instead of we and a team, especially when you're doing interviews and stuff like that, because any company that's interested in you wants to hear what you've accomplished. And we're used to doing stuff as a team in the military. So this is you just got to get used to that. Yeah. And break away from that. And it's, the military culture is great and you should take, all that stuff with you to your next job, the values and all that. That is a lot of companies are really looking for that, those kind of qualities in folks. But you do have to do a little bit of self-promotion to get picked up and get noticed and get the interview.
That's definitely something that's come through on these interviews is that unexpected challenge that people have where they're experienced at speaking well for their team or their subordinates and not as well for advocating for themselves. And I think it's great that you're highlighting that so that listeners can be aware of that as they go through the hiring process and that personal branding experience. I have other questions related to your work at Lockheed Martin, but I wanted to make any space to cover anything else that you think is really important for listeners to know.
Well, I think one of the other very important things you're going to figure out, and I didn't know a lot or hardly anything about this before I started the retirement transition process, is a lot of benefits that are available to you once you retire. And it's important to understand those because you're going to have to make decisions on those before you exit, particularly insurance, whether it's your life insurance options like Veterans Group Life Insurance. Just know that your SGLI, your Servicemen's Group Life Insurance, ends about 120 days after you retire or off the rolls. So you need to have something to replace that, a safety net for your family, because if something happens to you, your standard of living, your family is going to go way down with no paycheck coming in and you gone. So please consider that. Private life insurance policies are a great option if you're insurable, and you can still get them for cheap while you're in uniform, but make sure you do all that stuff before you start your VA disability claim. And that's real important, because if you get a high rating from the VA, you may be uninsurable and not able to get good premiums for things like life insurance once you get out. So think about that stuff the year before you get out and you're starting to do all these tasks. And the other one is, and this is kind of a contentious one, I guess, where a lot of people are for it or against it, but that's it's the SBP, Survivor Benefit Plan. So the SBP is something you have to make a decision on as well. And that's basically insurance for your pension when you get out. So that if something happens to you, if you die, then your family, your wife, your spouse will continue to get a portion of your pension for the rest of her life. So that's another option you have that you have to make a decision on as well. So just understanding those as you get out and is real key to your success. And you can make decisions on getting private insurance as well. So That's my other that's my other takeaway for you.
So take us through, how did you end up at Lockheed Martin and what was that process like?
So I found out about this job at Lockheed. It was actually through a friend of a friend. So that's really just kind of highlights the importance of having a network of folks. But it wasn't an advertised position. It was just kind of a word of mouth deal. So I interviewed for it and got picked up. Fortunately, I was a couple of weeks away from when I officially retired. So I had the job locked in before I was off the rolls, and they were like, hey, you don't mind if we start you a couple weeks later? Yeah, I'm like, absolutely not. I'll take some more time off. That was my one time to relax when I actually had the job locked in and, waiting for me a couple weeks later. And I was just able to take a vacation and enjoy doing some hobbies and stuff that I hadn't been able to do in a while. Do some yard work, do some honeydews around the house. that's how I came to land that one. Everybody's going to be a little different, but it is important to have that network. And I would say one of the most important tools for networking is LinkedIn. And my advice to you is to get on LinkedIn as early as possible in your career, because that is sort of your window into the corporate world. And I didn't get on LinkedIn until my last year. And it takes a while to build up your connections and, followers and, post some articles and share stuff and get your endorsements and all that. So you can't do that overnight. So get on early into LinkedIn. And another tip with LinkedIn is you get a year free premium membership on the LinkedIn as military. So, time that to where you get that free premium membership about when you're planning your exit. So that's when you need it the most.
That's great. And I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well, for that premium membership for, it's called LinkedIn for Good. And they give a free year to veterans. What about, if you bumped into someone from active duty, how would you explain what a senior operations analyst does? Like, what does that look like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I'm not sure the title is an exact perfect fit for what I do, but I work with a small team of folks, and our mission is to sort of look out beyond the horizon at emerging technology and things that could either help us or harm us and our operations in the future. And it's a lot of like project management type work where we're taking concepts from the back of a cocktail napkin or whiteboard and taking them to a minimum viable product. And then, kind of passing them off to other folks to iterate on. But, it's no day is the same. It's every day is a little bit different. And I would say that one of the most important things I do on a day-to-day basis is really just kind of building and cultivating relationships with places like the national laboratories, academic institutions, private industry, Silicon Valley, international partners, and other military labs and innovation centers. So that's a big part of what I do, but it's just a lot of, very similar work to what I did as a staff officer in the military. So it was kind of a comfortable fit, and I love the work, and it's a lot of fun. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So you think when you leave the military that, my life's over, everything I loved, I'm leaving behind, but that is not the case. You can take your passion with you to your next job, and you should, and find something that you like. And enjoy it. And, like Mark Twain said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Right. So I took that to heart. Hmm.
What stands out to you? I'm just thinking, especially of people who are still on active duty, like what stands out as something you really appreciate now that you're out? And is there something that you, in particular, that you miss from the service?
Well, some days you miss wearing a uniform. And then when the guys are walking out the door, with their helmets ready to go jump out of an airplane, like, man, I kind of miss that a little bit. there's things you don't miss too. Like, the military guys have all the responsibility, right? I mean, there's a lot of burden on their shoulders, and that's something you're kind of like in the middle of. You don't realize how much weight is on your shoulders at the time. And when you retire and you get out and you get that contracting job or another job, I mean, you're gonna have responsibilities too, but it's nothing like it's nothing like wearing the uniform. It is different.
That's great. I'm just making a note on that. I haven't actually heard that before, but I think it's interesting to think the burden and responsibility that you don't even realize that you feel while you're in the military, and then noticing that on the other side. I don't think anyone's ever pointed that out before, but when you say that, that actually makes sense. That many listeners might not realize that that extra weight that they carry.
Yeah, you've been living with it for so long, and it's been your job for 20 plus years. So it's kind of just it's just natural. You don't hardly even notice it anymore. It's like the air you breathe, But mm-hmm. When you get out, you notice it. You see it with the guys who are still in the uniform, and then A little bit of it is like, yeah, you kind of miss it. But the part of you is like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of glad I don't have to go to that meeting. Or I'm sitting in front of the boss anymore, you know. It's a mix. But there are great things about being out.
What about if someone listening is a veteran or maybe they're a military spouse? Could you talk about why they might like life at Lockheed Martin or why they might think of joining the team?
Yeah, absolutely. Lockheed is an extremely military-friendly company. Year after year, they're rated high on multiple rankings on people that track such things like, you know, military-friendly companies. So I would say it's a good fit for military folks and their families because when you're in the military, you're the customer, right, of Lockheed. You probably, whether you knew it or not, you probably benefited from some sort of Lockheed system while you were in uniform. And then to get out, you're now on the other side of that, and you bring that perspective with you. And I think it's very valuable to the company because, you know, the customer's always right, right? So seeing both sides of the fence, I think, makes you a valuable commodity. I think that's why they go out of their way to recruit you know, prior military. And you can actually see it on their website. If you're interested in a Lockheed career, there's LockheedMartinJobs.com website. And there's a tab for military folks with a lot of resources on there. So it's not like you're in the general population of folks applying for a job there. They do put you in a separate box, and you do get some additional resources that other folks do not get. So check that out if you're interested in Lockheed. Great company. Can't say enough great things about them.
Awesome. And you also do volunteer work for Project Transition USA. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with them and what sort of work they do?
Sure. I got linked up with Project Transition through my travels down to Tampa. I go down there TDY, you know, many times throughout the year, and I got a bunch of buddies down there, and they like, hey, if you're down here, you got to attend this LinkedIn course, and it's run by a lady named Nancy Lane. And every other Friday or so, she runs a LinkedIn concierge course, and she's one of these LinkedIn gurus. So she puts on a class for about 8 hours and runs you through all the finer features of LinkedIn and helps you build your profile up. And it was a huge advantage. So glad I attended. But ever since, I've been writing articles with military folks in mind who are transitioning to try to help them avoid some of the pain points that I went through. And wrote several different articles on it, and they're all on my profile page there if anybody feels like checking them out. But yeah, I mean, Project Transition is one of those great organizations. It's there to help folks that don't know what to do, help them help them get a great start, a head start.
That's awesome. I'm wondering with your transition, as you think back on it, was there any low point in that whole process of not having these incredible documents that you put together and going through it on your own?
My low point was, after I sent in my request for retirement and got back my retirement orders, that was my low point. I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I do now? So that was when I was like, man, I really got to get off my butt and start concentrating on retirement. And that's tough because, and a lot of people are going to be in the same boat because you're, you know, head down focused on your job, and your last year in the military, you've really got to think about kind of peeling back on some of your day-to-day tasks at work. That doesn't mean you can completely quit now. You can't do that to your boss, but you're going to have to throttle back a little bit because you've got a number of tasks you've got to knock out and you don't have a lot of time to do this. So if you look at that chart, it kind of gives you an idea of like when you have to do certain things. But if you've got a giant project looming, that may be a good time for you to go to your boss and like say, hey, look, you may want to help have somebody else help me out with this or put this on somebody else so I can start knocking out on my medical stuff and doing my out processing and all this other the other important tasks you're going to need to do. So. That's a tough mindset because you're still loyal, you're still dedicated to your job, and you don't want to throttle back. You're not used to doing that, but you do have to work, like I said, on your personal brand and setting yourself up for success. Because I will tell you, you know, you will be replaced when you leave. Don't worry about that. They will find somebody else. Just like the Army song says, like the Army keeps rolling along and they will roll along without you. So you are irreplaceable, even though you're, you know, even though you've done a great job, you've served your country, there's somebody else behind you to take the baton. So, and it's time for you to move on, do so, and don't have any qualms about doing so.
I think that's great. I love that thought of, as someone approaches that transition, ramping up that ability to advocate for oneself and to, like you said, still do your best job, but also realize, like, if it's not clear from this interview or the documents that Kirk's put together, there's a lot of work that goes into that transition and making sure you have the space to give that justice for you and for your family, to make sure that you're not unprepared when you do leave. And that, like you said, that might be ramping down on some side activities or requesting help. And I think that that can be difficult to do, but I think that that's what you're pointing out is really necessary. And I think it's great that you're highlighting that.
And you have to make these tasks a priority, because they're the easiest thing to put off, mm-hmm. right? If you've got a looming project going on, you know, you can skip something, one of your retirement tasks now, but it is going to catch up with you eventually. So make it a priority. You know, work it out with your leadership, and just get these things done on time, so you can take the stress off yourself, because it is a stressful situation, and the closer you get to your retirement day, the more stress you're going to have on you if you haven't done all this stuff. So get it knocked out.
We'll put links to your articles and documents in the show notes. I'm wondering if there's any other resources that could be podcasts, books, conferences, websites. I'll try and find a link to Nancy Lane's LinkedIn Concierge course, but anything else that you would recommend listeners check out?
Well, I mentioned LinkedIn, so that's one of your key tools. So get on that early. Something to help me was down in Tampa. They have a transition assistance resource, the STAR program. So I was able to attend some of those, and that basically what that is a group of volunteers from the local community. Business leaders that are there to help military folks transition out into the civilian sector. So I was able to attend a couple of those key meetings there. So if you're down in the Tampa area, I highly recommend you get connected with the STAR program. And a couple other recommendations, I would say the Honor Foundation, Joe Musselman. I went to one of his briefings. It was absolutely superb. He's quite a phenom, Joe is. So he will help you find your why. You know, if you're kind of looking for your purpose in your next life, this is the right organization to tie into there. So absolutely get linked up with them. There's plenty of other veterans groups too, like Veterati, who specialize in transitioning veterans into civilian careers as well. So there are a number of them out there. I can't think of all of them, but LinkedIn is really sort of your best window into those kind of groups. I would say if you're a reader and you want to get kind of a self-help book to help you through your retirement process and give you some perspective, I just love the Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What by Mark Manson. Great book, hilarious, and good stress reliever, and it does give you some great perspective on your life. So it's a great read if you got the time.
And for listeners, again, I'll have links to all of those in the resources section for the show notes. I also wanted to point out that way back in episode 86, almost 200 episodes ago, we chatted with Joe Musselman. You can hear his story about starting the Honor Foundation, which has grown by exponential numbers since then. And in episode 160, we interviewed Daniel Rao from Veterati. And so both of those are fantastic organizations. If you want to take a deeper dive, I'll put links to those episodes in the show notes. And I plus one on The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. It is a pretty good book to read and a good message. Well, I always like to leave the last question open-ended, and you can take it one of two ways. Either what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know, or what are some final words that you want to end on?
I would say that if you're thinking about retirement and you're kind of getting that itch to get out, then that's probably your moment. If you're a lieutenant colonel in 05 and your decision point is, you know, you're not going to make 06, and go ahead and start planning your exits. And because you've got some opportunity costs there if you're just staying in and collecting that 2.5% a year. So don't be afraid to take the plunge into the free market and join the rest of us. You know, it's a stressful event, but you'll get through it just like you did way more stressful events within your last 20 years in the military. So take the plunge and do it, and don't look back, but you know, use all the resources available to you. There are plenty of them out there, and I wish everyone that's going through it good luck, and I hope to see you on the other side soon.
Well, Kirk, I appreciate not just taking the time to speak with us today and sharing your advice with the Beyond the Uniform audience, but also the work that you're putting in, you know, after your service to put together these documents and these articles, because I know they're helping a ton of people. So thank you for both of those.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to do it. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Quick couple admin points. We release brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday. Those are usually recorded about a month or so before they go live. Every Monday and Thursday, we have an interview, usually almost always with a military veteran about their civilian career. More and more, we're starting to add in experts who may not be veterans, but may have some expertise that will help the military veteran community. Saturdays, I typically post more of a behind the scenes episode, which is a free form format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format. And by that, I mean business up front, party in the back, talking through admin points, professional topics related to the podcast. It might be a conversation I had that week. It might have been an interview I had that week, but just trying to share things that are top of mind that may help you in more of a free form, straight from the heart format. And then the party in the back is the personal side of things, just kind of more free-flowing thoughts on life, on improving oneself, just kind of whatever's going on in life and trying to be authentic and honest about those things as well. Special thanks. We have an all-volunteer army of people behind Beyond the Uniform making this possible. We do this on our lunch breaks, on our evenings, on our weekends, because we love the military community. We want to give back. We want to make a difference. We want that as part of the purpose in our life that we valued in the military. So special thanks to Steve Bain. Steve does pretty much everything. He helps secure guests. He does our newsletter. He keeps the reels rolling and keeps me sane. Kathleen Dillon, the first person to join our team. She writes text transcripts of every single episode. It's wild. She keeps up with two of these a week despite a demanding career and education right now. But those transcripts help us get more SEO value, helps her audience more. Andrew Woolridge is our data guru. He helps us understand the numbers, which is the easiest way for us to figure out how we can better support you, and adds kind of the data oversight for that. Rick Healy does all of our social media. He is gaining more and more of an audience for us by getting our videos, getting our podcasts out on social channels. The best way to stay in contact with us is if you go to beyondtheuniform.org. There is a newsletter. You'll have a little pop-up that comes up. You can put your email in. We email twice per month. We try to be respectful, but it is a great way to get appraised of upcoming events, upcoming interviews, promos where companies are giving discounts to Beyond the Uniform listeners, and more. This does cost money to put on. We are committed to not charging veterans directly. And the way that we kind of offset costs is through corporate sponsors. So if you know of a company that would like to get in front of a military audience and their families, that's one way that we can both add value to our members, but also offset the costs of Beyond the Uniform and give us a little bit of budget to start expanding what we're doing. So that's the best way you can help us. If that's not something that you can do, a positive review on iTunes is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful week. We will be back Monday, Thursday, and Saturday with more interviews. And keep up the listening. Take care.